of Hayd, Jazakallahu Khairan. We will start our discussion. We will only do one hadith today of the ahadith in this book, Umdatul Ahkam. There is actually 5 ahadith in the chapter. We will do one for today and we'll do the rest bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week, because one covers a large portion and the other 4 are all related to each other, inshallah. So the hadith that we will cover, inshallah, is hadith number 5 of the book. It goes as follows. A lady, annamra'atan sa'alat Aisha, a lady asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that ma ba'lul ha'id taqdi as-sawma wa la taqdi as-salah. She said, what's up with the lady who was menstruating, that she makes up the fast but does not make up the salah? Okay, so the answer from Aisha was very interesting. She asked, a haruriyatun anti, are you a haruriya? A haruriya is basically Haruri is the place, Harur is the area, and that is, it's referring to a group of people. The actual, like, asal of them are the Khawarij, the ones who who called the Sahaba disbelievers, a group of Sahaba disbelievers, a very interesting group of people. So they had very deviant beliefs. So this lady asking a question, Aisha is wondering, are you for real when you ask this question, or are you of somebody who is of these deviant beliefs? Why is Aisha so surprised? Because she then, the lady clarifies, لَسْتُ بِحَرُورِيَّ وَلَكِنِّي أَسَلْ. She says, I'm not from this group, I'm not a deviant, but I want to know what the answer is. And she said, كَانَ يُصِيبُنَا ذَلِكَ. We used to be in a situation of menstruating in our periods, talking about the women. فَنُؤْمَرْ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّوْمِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. We were told to make up our fast, but not told to make up our salah. And that is why we don't make up the prayers, but we make up the fast. That's the reason. Okay? So, let's unpack this hadith, because it has some interesting connotations. This hadith happens, or this incident happens, after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? He had already passed away. And at that point, people would come and ask questions of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was one of the most knowledgeable Sahaba alive, and she remained a source of fatwa for many, many people till she passed away radiallahu ta'ala anha. Okay? That is number one. Number two is this group, the Haruriya. That group is a nickname for the group of Khawarij. They came about, and their main cause was they were upset with Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu initially. They ended up murdering or martyring Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not abide by what they wanted, they again went against Ali as well. Two of the great Sahaba, they went against both of them. And they had the audacity, many of them, to call the Sahaba disbelievers. Their deviant beliefs are not the topic of discussion. But the point here is, this was that time when she was asked that question. People of deviant beliefs were spreading their beliefs and their mischief across the Muslim world. And that's why she was concerned, hey, is this person who's asking this question, is she at that deviant person, or is she, you know, somebody who really doesn't want to know what's going on? So she asked this question. She said, no, actually, I want to know what's going on. I'm not a deviant. And then Aisha explains the reason why we do what we do in the religion, because فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّوْمِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. Because we are commanded by the Prophet ﷺ. That's the actual reason. That's the actual reason why we do this and not that. If you think about it from a perspective where she's asking the question, she's thinking Salah is a pillar and fasting is a pillar. Okay? A lady who is in her period does not do either. She does not fast and she does not pray. But one pillar, which is the fasting, she makes up. But the other pillar, the prayer, she does not make up. What's up with that? So, you know, from her perspective, that's the where the question is coming from. The answer is, we do this because that's what the Messenger taught us. That's what the Messenger rather commanded us. And that's the bottom line reasoning for why we do what we do in the religion. Okay? This is the hadith. This is the hadith number 5 in the chapter. And we won't do the other 4 because they're all related to topic number 3 of this in this chapter. There's 3 topics in this chapter. The topic of hayd, topic of nifas, and then the topic of istihada, right? So the other 4 are related to topic number 3. We'll leave that for now. We'll talk about the first 2, which is, what is hayd that prevents a woman, or that makes it haram upon a woman to pray and to fast? What is this thing? Okay, so let's answer that question. What is this thing that makes it haram upon a woman to pray and to fast? Okay, amongst other things, as we'll see. This thing, al-hayl, translation of it is menstruation. This is something that happens, this is a natural occurrence in women, and all feminine species as well in the animal kingdom. This is a naturally occurring phenomena. The way it occurs in women is a little different than it occurs in other species, of course, because we're different species. But the phenomena exists consistently in the natural world. So it's a natural thing. It's not some sort of a curse or something. Wal-iyadu billah. It's not something that degrades a woman. It's a natural occurrence. And it is something that allows for the procreation of human beings. That's how, that leads to as we'll see, the menstruation is a sign that a woman is has reached puberty and she's able to now have a child. And it's also like when there's no blood, when there's no menstruation periods, that's a sign that she is pregnant. And this naturally, biologically, is a process that happens, if I remember correctly, I studied this a while ago, to clean the, it's a cleaning process for the uterus of the female. Okay, I might be off with my terms, but I remember studying this a while ago. Is that right, Rishad? Okay, great, alhamdulillah. Biology was not my strength. It's cool, okay? but it's a naturally occurring process. Linguistically, hayd actually means a sayalan, it's to overflow. And that's an interesting parallel because literally the blood is overflowing. You know, if there's a flood, you cannot control the water. Likewise, when a woman has her period, she cannot just stop her period, it will just overflow. And it's very interesting how the linguistic and the actual are very close in relationship, or in very close in meaning. All right, now you have hayd. So this is what hayd is. When does hayd begin for a girl? Hayd starts at 9 years old at the earliest. At the earliest, it's 9 years old. Before 9 years old, there isn't any hayd. Okay? Can it be after 9? Sure, it could be 10, 11, 12, 13. You know, it could be at different times for different people. Okay? It varies from place to place. It varies also from geography to geography. I was told by one of my teachers that one of his students, she was from, I think, somewhere in Russia, like northern Russia, and she had her period like very late, like at 18 years old or something. But I can't verify that as first-hand information. That's something that he told me. And it's what's interesting is that it does vary from place to place. The earliest is 9. And before 9, it can't happen to a girl. The last stage, like what's the absolute most of this, is وَلَا حَيْضَ بَعْدَ خَمْسِينَ سَنَةً فِي الْغَالِبِ عَلَى الصَّحِيحِ according to the majority, or according to the general rule, is it's 50 years old. So it's from 9 at its earliest to 50 at its oldest. Okay, that's the age range. In the Hanbali madhhab, for example, they say لا حيض قبل تسع سنين ولا بعد خمسين سنة. Okay, they say this is it. After 50, no more حيض, and they classify it as something else. And that is because Aisha said إذا بلغت المرأة 50 سنة خرجت من حد الحيض. She says that once a woman has passed 50, now she is no longer going to have her period. That blood will be classified as something else from the Sharia perspective. Okay, that is the madhab, the Hanbali madhab, but generally speaking, 9 to 50. Okay, now, this is something that happens every month, generally. I'm going to use the word generally a lot here because there's very few hard and fast rules when it comes to the way nature works in this particular aspect, in the way these things work. Some sisters have a very regular cycle. Others have a very, their cycle is a little off and whatnot. I don't have any sisters or anything, but I have a wife and a sister-in-law, two sisters-in-law, and I get told about people's periods, and not because I want to find out about them, because there's questions I'm asked. So from the questions I'm asked often, I could see, oh, this person has, you know, variance in their period. A lot of these questions come when going for Umrah or Hajj. This is a hot topic question from sisters. Oh, can I do this? Can I do that? So based on that, and just common knowledge that it is not the same for every person. Now, when you look at the ghalib, the most, like generally speaking, it happens, the least is once, one day and one night. That's the least amount that you can have. And the most you can have is 15 yawman bilaliha, 15 days. Okay? There are other opinions. This is the opinion that Imam Ahmad quotes, and that is the opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu as well. So it's, you know, taken from a sahabi. He doesn't make up stuff on his own. There are others who believe there's different opinions in the matter, but this is the majority and the safe opinion. The least a woman can have a period for a day is a day and a night, and the most is 15 days. What if she's bleeding after 15 days? We'll talk about that next week, because that is something else. Okay, but that is the limits of it. So we talked about the limits in terms of ages, 9 and 50. Talk about the limits in the terms of monthly occurrence, a day to 15 days. It could be in the middle. What's the ghalib? What is the most like frequent number of days a woman has her period? And the answer is, anybody know the answer to that? 7 or 6 or 7. Very nice, right? 6 or 7, like it says in the book, that غَالِبُهُ سِتٌ أَوْ سَبْعٌ. Okay? It is 6 or 7 days as a as what's most common. Okay? Now, that is some of the few definitions. What happens, what makes it, what becomes haram, what changes for a woman and a man when the woman has her period? Okay, what changes? So, number one thing that changes is between a man and a woman, they cannot have any intercourse. A husband and a wife cannot have intercourse in the time when the woman has her period. Okay, this is because Allah says in the Quran, فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. You have to stay away from them in the situation of their periods. Okay, وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُنَّ, and do not get close to them until they are pure. Now, getting close here, as we will see in the ahadith next week, inshallah, in more detail, does not mean that you are not like completely away from them. As we will see, the Prophet ﷺ used to lie upon Aisha. He would rest on Aisha, lean on Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was in her period, and the Prophet would recite the Quran at that point. Also, the Prophet and Aisha would take a bath together from the same pot while she was in her period. Okay, but the difference is فَكَانَ يَأْمُرُنِي. So he would command the he would command her to wear something like a skirt or pants or something, or like an underwear too, so that the blood is not everywhere. And then they would take a bath and they would have intimacy in that way. Not that they are intimate in the sense that they're having intercourse, but they're intimate in the sense that they're together and they're enjoying their time as a couple. Okay, so وَلَا يَقْرَبُهُنَّ وَلَا تَقْرَبُهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْحُرْنَ does not mean that you are completely removed from your spouse. It means that there is no actual intercourse. Everything else besides, you know, a person or a man and woman consummating the intercourse, everything else is okay. Foreplay, kissing, hugging, all that stuff, there's no problem with that. Wallahu a'lam. Okay? So that is point number one thing that becomes haram. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِصْنَوْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا النِّكَاحِ. He said, you can do everything except the actual action of intercourse. Everything else is acceptable. Wallahu a'lam. Okay? Very clear and very unambiguous. Number two thing that's haram between couples is talaq. So it's interesting, just like what married couples do, right? Which is, you know, they have intercourse. That is haram, but also breaking the marriage is also haram. Talaq. Okay, and that is because Allah says, فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. That you should give talaq when they are not in their period, when they are clean. There is a big difference of opinion amongst the scholars about what happens if a man gives talaq in the situation when his wife is in her period. What happens? Does that talaq count or not? It's a big difference of opinion. The four madahib are of the opinion that the talaq counts and the man is a sinner. Okay? But some of the recent fatwa, for example, from Sheikh Ibn Baz and Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahumullah, and also the fatwa from the Saudi Lajma Da'ima, and also I think the opinion, if I remember correctly, of Ibn Taymiyyah and others, is that that talaq doesn't actually count. It doesn't count, and that action is, you know, haram even in its occurrence. Okay, so Allahu a'lam, I've presented both opinions to you. It is your choice to, you know, take whichever one you want, but I'd rather you take none. Oh, you never get to the point where you have to take that option, inshallah. Okay, want to stay happily married, bi idhnillah. Okay, so that is the number two, which is talaq. Number three, now it's becoming personal ibadah. As-salah, a woman cannot pray salah. It is actually haram upon her to pray salah. Likewise, as-sawm, which is fasting, also haram for her to fast. Now, interesting, if it is haram for her to fast and she's not fasting, does she get reward from Allah for not fasting? Of course she does, right? If it's haram for her to not pray and she doesn't pray, does she get reward for not praying? She does, right? That's nice, sisters. You get to chill. You get all the reward, mashallah. Okay? This is the thing. You have to understand, this is not somehow taking away from the sister some sort of avenue for ajr. The ajr is obeying Allah and His Messenger. The ajr is in obeying Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why Aisha said, we were commanded to make up the fast, but not make up the prayer. So you follow the command, and the ajr is in following the command. Sometimes that's to do something, sometimes it's not to do something. And either way, the reward is there as long as Allah and His Messenger are being obeyed. So it's a very beautiful thing. Somebody who feels like that they're, you know, this happens in Umrah. Somebody goes for Umrah, they're in Mecca for like 4 days, and the sister gets her period, and she will be like, I came all the way, I can't pray in the Haram. You still get the ajr, because you came all the way, you're doing something that is obeying Allah and His Messenger. Inshallah, you should be fine. Okay, related to that is tawaf as well. Cannot do tawaf while in a situation of having a period. There are certain exceptions that can be made, which is maybe a discussion, maybe when we get to the book of Umrah and Hajj, inshallah, about what exceptions certain scholars make, like Ibn Taymiyyah, etc., when it comes to tawaf, but generally no tawaf if you're in that situation as well. Okay, other things which are more contentious in the sense that they're not fully agreed upon, all of this is fully agreed upon. Things that are not fully agreed upon is qira'atul Quran. This is, by the way, the majority of the scholars say you cannot read Quran in that situation. But in recent times, I have seen more fatawa from the, if I remember correctly, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen and some of the scholars from Azhar saying that it's permissible for a woman to do that, and it is something that she could do, particularly if she's studying and whatnot. And to be very honest, the evidence for not for making something like this haram is not very strong. What makes it strong is majority of the ulama gave their fatwa, but the evidence itself isn't that as strong as the others. So Allahu alam, this is something that is a contentious issue. It's not agreed upon, but the fatwa from Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen and some of the mashayikh from Azhar is that if she is studying and whatnot, she has to revise her Quran, she has to do this and that, she should continue doing that, because if she takes a break for 7, 8, 10 days every single month, she's going to forget a lot of stuff. So that is the fatwa, wallahu alam. Okay. Also, is masul mushaf, because Allah says, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. You have to be pure to be able to touch the mushaf. And a sister who has her period doesn't have wudu, so how can she touch the mushaf? That's the, again, a contentious issue, because this is not something that's agreed upon. One workaround is that if you're reading on the computer or you have a phone or a handheld device, then you're not really holding a mushaf, you're holding the device, and you can get around that, inshallah. Last one, which is fairly well established, is دخول المسجد واللبث فيه. It's to enter the masjid and stay in it. Okay, so just like the person who has to take a shower, who's in the state of janaba, not supposed to be in the masjid, you're supposed to take a shower and come back to the masjid. Likewise, the sister as well, who is in her period, she should not linger in the masjid. This is the way, this is the based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that is authentic by as according to many scholars. The ones who say this opinion or this point is not they have a contention with this point, they say the hadith is not sahih. Okay, it comes down to the ones who believe the hadith to be sahih, they say the sister can be in the masjid. The ones who say it's not sahih, they say there's no evidence she can be in the masjid. Okay, and the difference between a person who is in janaba and her is the one who janaba can take a shower anytime and get out of it, she can't get out of it. Right, so that is also a valid way of looking at it. Wallahu alam. The workaround for us is easy. Alhamdulillah, we have an upstairs room for the sisters. That's not really the masjid or the musalla. She can come there, you know, take classes and hang out and benefit while also avoiding the ikhtilaf of the fuqaha, which is not to be in the masjid. Wallahu alam. So it's a good situation. We can kind of avoid the differences of opinions. The more we can do that, the better it is, inshallah. Okay. The prayer hall is referring to the actual prayer hall as well. Yes, when it says the masjid, it refers to the prayer hall, not the building. Okay, Allahu a'lam. What happens when how does a sister then, once she has gone through her period, what does she do? She has to take a bath once the period is over, and then she will pray and fast accordingly. There are certain things that are very interesting and important. For example, if a sister's period ends before, say, sunset, okay? So what's Maghrib is 5:39, right? So say her period ends at 5:15. Now she's confident that her period's over. And the period ending is not like, you know, like a buzzer goes like, bam, and it's over. it's a process, right? So at 5:15, she's confident, she's clean. So at 5:15, she should take a bath or shower and pray both Dhuhr and Asr. Okay? Pray both Dhuhr and Asr, and then hopefully just before Maghrib, she can finish both of them. All right? If it's 5:38 or something, or 5:37, there's a couple of minutes left, then that is, you know, ma'fun anhu, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold her accountable to that. Okay? So, but the point is that she has to be diligent in watching the end part of her period. This is an extremely important thing that she has to do. This is the first topic, which is Hayd. The second one is Nifas, we'll cover quickly. Nifas is postpartum bleeding. Postpartum bleeding, which is after a woman has given birth to a child, that is postpartum. Everything that is with Hayd applies to postpartum as well. No salah, no fasting, no tawaf, the no intercourse as well for the man and the woman. And likewise, the talaq as well is not allowed at that point. Wallahu a'lam. The only difference is with the duration of postpartum bleeding. There is no minimum duration for it. It could be a few days, it could be a week. There is a maximum to it, and the maximum is 40 days postpartum bleeding. So after 40 days, her postpartum is over, and now she's to start praying and fasting again. What happens if she's bleeding after 40 days? What happens if she's bleeding for more than 15 days in her period? That is called istihada. That is called istihada, and we'll talk about istihada inshallah next week, because that requires a bit more time inshallah. With that, we'll stop. That was the chapter of Hayd, menstruation, and nifas, postpartum bleeding. Bismillah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair, everybody. Questions or comments? The Maghrib? Okay. So the situation is, see that the sister has finished her period just before Maghrib in a reasonable time. Okay? So Maghrib is 5:40 p.m. Okay? She finishes her period. She's confident it's done by 5:15. So she has about 25 minutes. Okay? She can take a shower. And then she should pray both Dhuhr and Asr, because the time for Dhuhr and Asr, as we will see, is a shared time. Right, like you can join your prayer for Dhuhr and Asr together when you're traveling in certain situations otherwise as well. So she should pray both her Dhuhr and Asr before Maghrib comes in. That is the situation. Now if she is very close to Maghrib, like it's like 5 minutes left to Maghrib, and she just became sure that her period has stopped, then that is, you know, at that point it's too late, and then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold her accountable to that. Four rakah, yes. So probably she should, you know, do a shorter salah, like Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, qul huwallahu ahad, wal asr, something like that, just to get her salahs in. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Other questions? Comments? Khalas, inshallah. Sisters, if you have comments or questions, I'll be upstairs just if you want to ask something. But a lot of these questions come when people go for Umrah. Very interesting. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. What's up?